KW1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Both the Trump and Harris campaigns were in Pennsylvania last night.
In Erie, Pennsylvania, Harris letting Trump speak for himself, playing clips.
The worst people are the enemies from within.
Taking Trump to task.
And he is out for unchecked power. That's what he's looking for.
Describing a second Trump term as dangerous and a risk to America.
ABC's Mary Bruce. Trump cutting short the Q&A part of his rally after two people fainted. Swing state Georgia begins early voting today. That makes 44 states where early polls are open. The UN Security Council expressing strong concern over Israeli attacks on southern Lebanon that wounded UN peacekeepers. This is about 100 U.S. troops now being deployed to Israel as part of an advanced anti-missile defense system. FEMA workers in North Carolina abandoning door-to-door visits after receiving threats that they could be targeted by militia. Meanwhile, suspect accused of threatening FEMA workers arrested there. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democrats are hitting battleground Wisconsin in the run-up to Election Day. Lisa Hale was with Vice Presidential candidate Tim Walz in Green Bay yesterday.
Walz appealing to union labor and people who care about reproductive rights.
I'm going to make a message to the guys here. If you had any women you love in your life, your wives, your daughters, your mothers, and friends, let's not forget. Their lives are literally at stake in this election. Let's be very clear.
Kamala Harris is scheduled to return to Wisconsin Thursday. I'm Lisa Hale.
Spending is trending up in the race for U.S. Senate. Democrats have outspent Republicans so far, $93 million to $69 million, but Republicans are outspending Democrats between now and Election Day, $21 million to $15 million. Tammy Baldwin leads Eric Hovde by 7 points in the latest Marquette poll. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Kicking off the Driving Forward Blue Wall Tour, Vice Presidential candidate Tim Walz was in Green Bay Monday.
You had a Lions fan, a Packers fan, and a Vikings fan up here. The only thing more amazing is we got Bernie Sanders, Dick Cheney, and Taylor Swift all on the same ticket.
Harris is scheduled to return to Northeast Wisconsin for her presidential campaign Thursday. Brown County is urging everyone who is over the age of 6 months old to get the flu vaccine this year. Brown County Public Health Officer Anna Nick said the flu vaccine can reduce illness, doctor's visits, and can make the symptoms of the flu seem less severe. Brown County is hosting a flu vaccine clinic for kids 6 months to 18 years old at the Brown County Central Library today from 4 until 6 p.m. See our story at WGBW.FM for dates and information. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
The Badgers back at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. The Wisconsin Badgers preparing for another road trip, this time at Northwestern to face the Wildcats. Wide receiver Will Pauling, questionable despite not suffering a concussion against Rutgers. Luke Fickell says with 6 weeks into the season, he'll be paying more attention to players with injuries.
There's a balance to what you're doing, but you are starting to get to that middle of the second half of the season. This is a different league now, and you do have to be able to handle things a little bit different as you get to that mid-second half of the season.
NBA, the Bucks got their first win of the preseason with a 111-107 victory over the Chicago Bulls. The Bucks' new guard, Gary Trent Jr., and forward Taurean Prince got some playing time together. Head coach Doc Rivers.
They both have been fantastic. They're both very physical. And on the other end, they don't press. TP gets 5 shots or 10 shots or 1 shot. The demeanor is the exact same. You need players like that.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today with a high right around 50 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the north at around 15 to 25. Tonight clear, will drop to 30 for a low. Tomorrow it'll be sunny, 57. Then on Thursday, sunshine, a little warmer with a high near 65. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
When right-wing politicians tried to sell us out to Big Pharma and the insurance companies, Tammy Baldwin refused to back down. Baldwin took on the big drug companies and capped the price of insulin at $35.
She fought for people like me.
Everything they've done with the health care, with the insulin.
They've done a lot of things to help lower bills.
Baldwin led the charge to make sure people with pre-existing conditions could keep their health care. And after Roe v. Wade was struck down, Tammy wrote the bill to restore equal access to abortion care for women everywhere.
She wants to make sure that all of us keep our benefits. She wants to make sure that we have the right to choose.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I'm going to vote for Tammy Baldwin.
I'm proud to be voting for Tammy Baldwin.
Paid for by Power to the Polls Federal Fund, powertothepollsfund.com, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I've got Congressman Mark Pocan of Wisconsin's 2nd District. We're going to be talking about what's at stake for you economically in the upcoming election. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back. It's hour three of Mino and the Mayor with Nikki Z and Jim Schmidt. We are here to inform you on all the great things going on here in Northeast Wisconsin. And we have someone in today that we're excited you're here because you are going to talk about something that affects all of us eventually, right? This month is National Family Caregivers Month. And Terry Bradford, who is the, I forgot what your title was. I'm sorry.
Caregiver specialist at ADRC.
Thanks, Nikki.
Thanks,
you're
Nikki.
The caregiver specialist at ADRC, which is, of course, the Aging Disability Resource Center here in Brown County. And these are all over the community. I mean, it's not just Brown County.
Right. Yeah. Every county in the country has an ADRC, whether it's an agency on aging or an aging and disability resource center. But every county in the country has one.
And how are we? Tell me what you're doing regarding this whole National Family Caregivers Month.
Well, I just want to make one small correction.
That's
I'm
right.
Sorry.
People
November
do it every day to me.
November is National Family Caregiver Month.
Up,
right? So we're gearing up.
Right. We're gearing up. That's a good way of putting it.
2 weeks ahead of the curve here. Yeah. All right. That's Civic Media.
Yeah.
WGBW. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I am here today on behalf of the Brown County Caregiver Coalition, and we are a group of businesses in the Brown County area that have a key mission. And our mission is to support and strengthen caregiving relationships through advocacy, education, collaboration, and community outreach. We want to be able to provide resources for professional and family caregivers alike. We accomplish that with three key objectives. And those are to, one, identify the needs of the caregivers in our community. The second is to enhance the caregiver role through support and education. We were able to do that through our spring event for caregivers. We offer a support group for caregivers at the ADRC, education programs. We partner with the ADRC as a part of it to promote evidence-based classes like the Powerful Tools for Caregivers, which is a six-week course that offers caregivers the opportunity to understand the importance of taking care of themselves while they're on that journey. And then we also offer a caregiver newsletter that goes out every month. That's some of the things that I do on behalf of the coalition through the ADRC.
I got to believe that support group, that's a tough job. I mean, caregivers and the stress, and it's every day. It's not like, well, once. And you got the professionals that do it, but some people maybe don't choose that route for whatever reason, financial, or they don't want to put mom there yet. So the family takes over.
Right.
And that's difficult. Mm-hmm. I mean, and what are some of the things that they can learn? And, you know, that support group, I think, there's so many things that you offer on this month of November, this caregivers month. But and we I think it starts with just appreciating what they do, because that is, I don't know.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why I'm excited about this November event, because it's an all-day event for our family and professional caregivers. And for me, it's really an opportunity to serve them for a change. Every day they're serving their loved ones right. in the care. This is our opportunity to take care of them for a day. We provide you a lunch. We provide you education. Curative Connections is gracious enough. They're also part of the Caregiver Coalition. They're offering free respite if somebody, you know, if that's a barrier to someone coming mm-hmm. to the event. Mm-hmm. Their loved one can go to Curative Connections, their day programming, and the caregiver can come and enjoy the event. So
and learn
the
a
date
lot.
Again?
No, it is Saturday, November 2nd. We intentionally planned it on a Saturday. We know that a lot of our caregivers are still working, maybe part of the sandwich generation where they're taking care of their parents and maybe you've got teenage kids at home still. So they're working during the week. So Saturday event is great because they shouldn't be working. That might be able to get a few more people to the table, but it also allows for those adult children to step in and take care of mom and dad. So the 24-hour caregiver hasn't a chance to attend the event as well. But again, since there's no cost to the respite, we encourage the family members to come as well, the adult children and the, you know, and the aging parent. So,
this coalition that you put together, tell me some of the members of that. I bet you they've been on this show or we know them.
And I'm going to apologize. I don't know that I'm going to remember all of you.
Right, so, I know. That's always a danger.
So but... for those that I forget, I'm not forget, but miss. Unity Hospice is a part of our organization.
They're awesome.
Yeah. And Options for Independent Living.
They've been
you
on
know,
here.
Great organization, right? Curative Connections.
Number of times. They're great.
Yeah. We've got Home Instead is a part of our coalition. Care Patrol, Senior Life Advisors, the long-term care insurance guy, Romeo. So, I mean, it's just a myriad of all these businesses that come to the table that work with either family caregivers or professional caregivers that give us an opportunity to connect with caregivers that the ADRC doesn't connect to,
right.
But to offer this education. The other piece that we do, the third objective, just because I want to make sure it mentions, is to gauge in advocacy initiatives. You know, we know that there is a caregiver shortage here, in not just here in Brown County, but everywhere. More and more family caregivers are stepping to the plate. More and more family caregivers are taking on, you know, the roles of the would-be, you know, the professionals because there just isn't enough to serve the need. So we're really strong on the advocacy efforts as well, trying to get additional funding, additional support, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about that, but I got some other things I'll talk about first. This one-stop resource center, I think that's pretty cool. You have all these different things there because as much as we have in this community, there's people who don't know some of the stuff we have here, you know, and this is.
Or if they qualify,
right,
they assume that they have
costs,
to.
All that.
Okay. And you're talking about the ADRC. Here,
no,
right?
I'm just talking about you're bringing this coalition together, right? They're all going to be under one roof. Where's this at?
Second? This is actually a Curative Connections over on Curry Lane.
Okay.
There will be a resource fair. So a lot of the coalition members are going to have resource tables there where you can stop and you can talk and you can chat and you can ask questions. That's really what we're there for. Yeah. We're here to arm you with the information that you might need to make these decisions.
And what an opportunity for people to have it all there, right?
Yes.
Booth to booth instead of, you know, driving the Star David to figure out everything in this community. So, yeah, that's awesome. And that's the second.
Yes.
At Curative. And easy parking.
Easy parking. Yep. All one floor. You know, respite right there available on site. We have an amazing gal called, her name is Joy Jordan. She is going to be our keynote speaker. We've got breakout sessions that people can choose from when they register. We've got financial considerations for caregivers. That's one of our breakout sessions. There's so much that goes into planning when you're thinking about stepping into this role. Even while I was preparing this presentation as a former caregiver to my parents, all the things I could have, would have, should have, but didn't know at the time. So that's really where my passion comes in, because as a caregiver to my parents, my biggest thing is I want to be able to help other adult children navigate this and not make some of the same what I deem mistakes with their parents. I want them to know that they're making the best decisions they can with the information they have at the time. We have hospice versus palliative care. There's so much misunderstanding between what hospice is and palliative care. People don't even know palliative care exists and what's the difference and when is the best time to bring each one of them or consider. We have a caregiver panel that we're putting together, caregivers from all different walks that are going to share bits and pieces of their journey and then open it up to take questions from the audience if they have some questions that they'd like to ask. We've got Heather Flick, who is our dementia care specialist, doing communication tips for dementia caregivers, right? That communication when you're caring for someone with dementia is so crucial, and Heather's amazing. We've also got what does respite look like to you? Because so often caregivers, you know, we're so good at taking care of everybody else, but we are not good at taking care of ourselves. And so what does that look like for you? So Brenda's going to be talking. Brenda's with Celestial Sound, and she's also on the coalition. She's going to be presenting on different ideas. When you've got 5, 10, 15 minutes, you know, let's have this basket ready to go with these things that you can do just to catch your breath, to take a break.
Wow.
And then the last presentation we've got, Sherry Fairman's going to be doing from Dementia. She's from Dementia Care Solutions. She's going to be presenting on the art of asking for help.
I know. Is that workshop a week long?
No. But I'm really excited for this, too, because, you know, again, I've learned with I facilitate the Powerful Tools for Caregiver class. And that is one of the biggest things. And I know even myself, not in the caregiver role, but when I was in the caregiver role, asking for help is really hard because everybody's so busy. You know, they've got lives of their own, yada, yada, yada. So how to ask for help and getting your needs met so you can continue caring for that.
This is awesome. We're talking with Terry Bradford, who we're talking about the caregiver's wellness. And there's a great event coming up. And many of us are, like you said, you may have teenage kids, but you also have aging parents. There's just a lot going on. There's seminars. There's a resource fair. And she's really kind of in charge of this whole guiding caregivers to wellness. And I think there's a lot of need for this. I think your timing on this is awesome. I think you're going to have great attendance on this. It's just auto curative on 2900 Curie Lane. What about the families that, like, people don't know what to do? And then if someone's going to quit their job to take care of mom or dad, should they get paid? You hear about these stories, and there might be some tension.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why we put together this financial considerations for caregivers, because that really is geared towards the adult child looking to step into that role and things that they should consider. But it also covers powers of attorney for healthcare, for finance. I mean, all that wrapped into one package. But I would think the biggest thing is if anybody's in this role and they've got questions, I would really encourage you to call the ADRC because we are there to be that one-stop shop. And if you have questions, call us. We are the experts in the area. If we don't have the answer, we're going to connect you to someone who does. So I would just, again, this event is available. It's free. We've got it. We've got room for 100 more caregivers. So please, you know, if you're caring for a parent, come bring your siblings. If you're, you know, if you're caring for your spouse and you've got adult children that help, I mean, any family caregiver is welcome. We also have this open to professional caregivers because we also see that a lot of the professional caregivers are caregivers in their personal life as well.
Do you have more time to stick around?
I want to talk to you a little bit about this communication tips for dementia caregivers. We've had some people on here talking about that. I just read an article about signs to look for, not overreact, but there's signs that I didn't know of until I read that article. But we'll get back to that. There's so many things you can learn at this in these breakout sessions on November 2nd. We're going to be right back with
Terry Bradford from
I'm going through my list here. Sorry, Terry. There's too many things on this list. I know your name was Terry. I didn't know the last.
Stay
Bradford.
Here. You're listening to 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Are you seeking an amazing atmosphere where you can enjoy well-executed comfort food for lunch or dinner? Maybe even a cold craft beer, signature cocktail, or glass of wine after a hard day's work? Look no further than Heights Pub and Parlor in downtown Green Bay. Three levels of gorgeous architecture with top-notch friendly service, mouthwatering food, and a kitchen open Monday through Saturday from 11 to 9. You'll find any excuse to come back. Visit weekdays from 11 to 10 and open till 11 Fridays and Saturdays. Check us out on Facebook or online at heightsgb.com.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We are talking the ADRC with caregiver Terry Bradshaw. I mean, no! Terry, sorry, at break she said, don't call me Terry Bradshaw, call me Terry Bradford.
So what is so the one thing you
don't
did?
Put that in my head. Okay, I said that was going to happen. No, I did that on purpose. Okay. Terry Bradford, who is the works with the Caregivers Wellness Program. There's a great seminar coming up for you listeners and or friends of you. This caregiving, this is a tall order, and there's just a lot of questions. Are we doing the right thing for mom or dad? Are we using the right resources? They have a keynote speaker coming in, this Joy Jordan, who is going to talk about, is there a healthy balance between what you do for yourself and what you do for others? Because caregiving, very taxing. And you have some great seminars and resources to help people that are like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Caregiving is definitely a balancing act. We see that with a lot of caregivers because they take on multiple roles, right? Am I the caregiver now or am I the spouse now? And, you know, we want to arm those spouses with the ability to enter into the arena of just being the spouse instead of always being the caregiver. And with the adult children, you know, we've got work, we've got kids, we've got spouses, we've got, you know, all these different roles that we're playing, and we want to do justice to all of them. But reality is there's still only 24 hours in a day, no matter how many roles you play. So if you're not taking care of yourself along the way, one of the things that we, you know, that we mentioned in Powerful Tools for Caregiver class is, you know, when you get on that airplane and they say when the oxygen mask drops, what are you supposed to do, right? You've got to put yours on first, because what happens if you don't?
You can't help others.
Right. You can't help anybody around you. You can't. I mean, there's a million cliches. You can't draw from an empty well. You can't pour from an empty cup. You can try, but at the end of the day, it's still an empty cup. So this is our opportunity to, again, reach out to those caregivers, give them the opportunity to catch their breath, take a nice day off, know their loved one is being taken care of, and just to come enjoy, meet other caregivers. We've got door prizes that we're going to be giving away, and, you know, a nice little respite basket, a gift for you that we're going to be, you know, giving caregivers as they exit the event. But again, we just want to take care of you for a day. So
this is great. And this is, I'll bet you people are just like, I can't wait till this happens, because, you know, you hear that and talk to friends, it's like, oh man, you wouldn't believe what I'm going through right now. But I want to just shift gears, not really shift gears, but I just want to move to the whole dementia part of, mm-hmm. of caregiving. And we've had people on this show before, and Johnny, me, and Todd have all had experiences with loved ones with dementia. I don't know if there's more and more dementia or it's just more and more discovered. You know what I mean? That happens all the time. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, this has been going on for years. We just finally figured out how to look at that. Tell me a little bit about what people can learn about dementia. You know, there was just an article, I was telling you at break, that I just read of signs to look. Everybody's like, oh, I can't find my keys. Right. Okay, come on. It's a lot more than or leaving something on the stove. There's just other signs to look for. But, you know, if you're kind of feeling that about a loved one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of different, you know, a lot of different ways that you can maybe identify it. We've come to understand that sometimes, like my own dad, this goes back to my dad passed in 2007. Looking back now, I realize that he had probably Lewy body dementia, right? Given the symptoms that I remember him having. But yet that long ago, it wasn't a term we were using. Right. It wasn't a diagnosis that a lot of families don't want to get the diagnosis. They fear the diagnosis. Right. So there's a lot of denial that goes in. And there's healthy aging and there's, normal aging, as they call it. Like, I lost my keys, but if I can retrace my steps and find them, you know, where did I last have them? Oh, yeah, I did this. That's different than I find my keys in the freezer, right? So if you're worried about those signs, I know that we have a handout at the ADRC, the 10 warning signs. I know, again, and I don't mean to make this about the ADRC, but again, if you're looking for answers, we do offer also at the ADRC something called a brain checkup where you can meet with one of our ADRC specialists. It's a 15-minute conversation. You'll have a baseline of where your memory is today. We're able to tell you if there's something that you may want to be concerned about, maybe talk with your doctor. And if everything looks good, hey, come back next year like you do any other, right. Any other annual exam. And you can see if there have been any changes. So you're monitoring whether or not there's a decline or if it's staying the same. So a great opportunity to, again, arm yourself with the knowledge. Again, Heather Flick at the ADRC also offers some dementia care specialist one-on-one where you bring your questions. I know she's got a monthly session that if you've got questions, come and have a conversation with her, and she meets with the group and she answers the questions. So great opportunities, again, to arm yourself with the knowledge and the education so you can make the best decisions.
When I was a kid, remember the PSA, knowledge is power?
Yep.
The more you know.
Yep.
Right
here. That is exactly what you guys are doing.
Right.
This is great. I think a lot of people listening should attend this, and if they can't, I stop at the ADRC. But their tagline in there is "Care for you, care for me," and that's what it's all about. Yep. And if you're not there now, you're going to get there someday. You know what I mean?
Well, and they do say at any point in our lives, you're going to be either in need a caregiver, you're going to be a caregiver, or everybody's going to be in this role.
Yeah.
So, I would encourage caregivers to start talking, bring a friend. I mean, it's not going to cost you anything.
Right.
There's a great day plan for you. And if your parents are caring for a spouse, offer to take them.
Right. So this is Saturday, November 2nd. So that's the day. It's just from 10 till 2:30 out of Curative, 2900 Curie Lane, which is, just great, easy parking, one level. And they've got a resource fair. They got some great speakers, some awesome breakout sessions. And, like we're talking about, we're all going to be dealing with this sooner or later, right? It's either going to be us. It's going to be, a loved one. And the more, like you just said, Nikki, I mean, the more the more confident and the better you're going to be. So
what's a good place for more information?
If you want more information, definitely call the ADRC at 920-448-4300. If you want to ask for me directly, Molly and Emily will patch you through to me. Happy to answer any questions you might have. You can also register online at the ADRC. If you see a flyer throughout the community and there's plenty of them on there, I believe there's a QR code that you can scan and go right to registration. And again, the Brown County Caregiver Coalition, we are still a work in progress. We're always looking for new members to join us at the table. I'm co-chair with Josh from Options for Independent Living. So if you've got questions regarding our coalition, love to have you at a meeting. Come sit at the table.
Terry Bradford
with the Brown County. Terry, thank you for coming in. Thanks for all you're doing.
You're welcome.
Are really, really helping this community in very special ways. Thank you. And we'll see we'll see you in November.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. You need a Department of Natural Resources permit to burn brush or debris in 13 Wisconsin counties. That's because ongoing dry weather is spiking the risk of wildfires. That'll remain the case for the foreseeable future. You don't need a permit for campfires or grills. There's more on the DNR website. Rural voters could decide this year's presidential election. Sarah Janes of the Rural Democracy Initiative says that rural voters tend to be swing voters interested in the needs of working people.
They're very focused on working people as kind of the heroes of the economy and concerns that impact working class people.
The initiative's most recent poll finds Donald Trump leading among likely rural voters in 10 battleground states, but that support has dropped between March and September. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The proposed 2025 budget for the city of Appleton has a 4.2% increase in spending, but a slight decrease in property taxes for Appleton homeowners in Calumet and Outagamie counties. $199 million budget is available at the city's website. There will be a budget listening session tomorrow from 3 until 6 at Appleton City Hall and a public hearing on the budget on November 6th at 6 p.m. The 38-year-old owner of a haunted house attraction in Two Rivers was convicted yesterday of sexually assaulting a teen who worked for him. John Schwartz, who operated Scare USA, pleaded no contest to having sexual intercourse with a child under 19, fourth-degree sexual assault, and causing mental harm to a child. The state and defense agreed to a joint recommendation of 5 years on probation with a series of conditions. He will be sentenced on Wednesday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Succession star Jeremy Strong does not miss being on the popular show. That might surprise some people, as it was an immensely popular show and won a slew of awards. Oftentimes it is mentioned as one of the best TV shows ever. Strong says he owes a lot to Succession, but the show messed him up. Strong says carrying the troubles of his character Kendall Roy for 7 years was almost too much. How much is too much? When asked if he would consider a spinoff where his character would be the star, he said it is not something he wishes to do. When an actor is willing to turn down millions of dollars, I tend to believe them. The film The Apprentice, about the life of Donald Trump and starring Sebastian Stan, has been given mostly good reviews, but it is getting torched by one critic in particular, who called it a politically disgusting hatchet job made by human scum. Any idea who that critic might be? Former President Donald Trump slammed the film, but it's doubtful many people saw his post because it was on Truth Social. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today with a high right around 50 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the north at around 15 to 25. Tonight, clear, will drop to 30 for a low. Tomorrow, it'll be sunny, 57. Then on Thursday, sunshine, a little warmer with a high near 65. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Clean, safe water is critical for our families, farms, and future. Jane Benson chooses our health over big business profits. Vote Benson for State Assembly District 4.
I'm Jane Benson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Friends of Jane Benson.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Ann Egan Walkoff from Wisconsin Native Vote.
20 years ago, I moved to a suburb of Milwaukee. I went to register, and the woman was like, "You're Indian? Indians don't vote. You can't vote."
What?
So when I'm talking to a group of Native Americans, did I tell them that story? And they're like, "What?" And that gets their dander up. And I'm going to go vote for sure.
Absolutely.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our friend and colleague Todd Alva joins us at 10:33. Hour number two, Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, and this shouldn't be a thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Welcome back to Mino and the Mayor. Join the conversation now by calling 920-264-0606. 920-264-0606. Now, once again, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to our last half hour. Man, this morning went fast. We've had great guests, and we got two more coming up, too. I'm Jim Schmidt. I am here with Nikki Z, because Johnny's on vacation, and we brought in today, because we wanted, you know, to really end the show on a super high note, Tammy Elliott and Emerson Lehman from Action 2 News. They just got off work, so they just walk over here across the street down to our studio. I can't believe you guys get up at 2:15. You're on the air at 4:30.
I just showed my phone alarms. Yes, around that time. Yeah. We're kind of in the middle of our day, actually.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Midday. Right. Midday.
So this after is your lunch.
Yeah. About. Yeah.
Breakfast,
coffee break.
Lunch. Coffee break.
Breakfast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say after this we can go to lunch and dinner around 3 o'clock, and then wow. Emerson, you're relatively new though. Tammy, you've been here for a while.
Since 1992.
Really?
Wow. In the market, yeah. I mean, I left for a little bit, but came back.
Still looks like she's in high school. Hello. Emerson, tell me about you. You're relatively new with...
Yeah, it's almost a year now. So getting there, December 11th, I think will be 1 year. So
awesome.
Yeah, it's been great so far. I love Green Bay, man.
So what's all going on in the media? It's always changing and...
Every day.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
I mean, obviously, we've got a pretty big election coming up in 3 weeks. So that's taking place of a lot of things right now. Lots of local stuff going on as well. I mean, just every day is different, right?
It really is. And one of the things I think you might notice more as far as a change in news and media is digital news. You know, you see push alerts on your phone. That's not new, but digital, whether it's little hits of news that we're doing, we have a real focus on that as well, because people, well, let's just be honest, they're not always just waiting until the news comes on at, you know, 5 o'clock at night, 6 o'clock at night, or in the morning. They'll get snippets here and there. So really driven to our website and our app. And we do, after we're on the air in the morning at 4:30 a.m. until 7, and then we get about a 5 minute break, and then we go live on digital. And so that's on Roku, it's through our app.
WBAY.com. Yeah. So strictly online based.
Right. Yeah. So we'll do that. And then throughout the day, too, we do digital news breaks.
And I don't get that. I'm not that high tech, but all of a sudden I'll get a text from a friend of mine, and I'm sure he gets the information from you. Did you hear this or did you know that? And maybe I should just cut him out and just go right to you.
Tune in 4:30 to 7 every morning.
I could. I'm up at that time. But,
and then sign up for every alert.
Yes.
Okay, and you guys have been around. Actually, your station is, your building is 100 years old this year.
Mm-hmm, it is.
We have a big party at the Northland Hotel, which is also 1924. Mm-hmm. So that's coming up. We're not nominated for an Emmy, but you are.
Yeah, we're excited about that.
Tell us about, tell us about the process. That is pretty cool.
And can I just, a humble brag here for Emerson, too, is he is an Emmy award-winning journalist.
Really?
Yes.
Thank you.
So.
Thank you. Yeah, it's... We're very excited about it. It was for our winter storm coverage back in January.
I don't want to interrupt you, but I want to tell you I want to know how you got your Emmy. Tell me about it.
Back when I was working in Milwaukee, I did a story on a teacher who was reading books to kids through video during the COVID pandemic.
Cool.
She started this reading program, and it kind of took off, and kids all over the world were watching her videos. So we highlighted one of those stories, and nice judges with the Emmys thought it was a decent story, and they gave me a cool shiny trophy for it. So yeah,
I want to give you that.
That's right in your name.
That's a cool story.
It does. Yeah, the nickname kind of. Some people call me Emmy now, which is a little weird, but yeah, it it was really, I was so grateful for that.
So tell me, you started talking about you're up for another Emmy.
Right. So our morning show, as Emerson was saying, that it was in January. It was one of, I think it was the first really big winter storm, big snowstorm. There was a semi that had overturned on I-41. And so we had extensive coverage of that and just continuing coverage. And really, you know, it's one of those days. Okay, so it's a unique situation. But I think what we would say as coming into work every day, you know, we aren't doing this for the awards. We aren't doing this thinking, right, oh, today's an Emmy Award winner. You know, we obviously want, I mean, when things aren't breaking news, when things are just, you know, it's a day in, day out, that's kind of what we do. So we prepare for this every day. So, you know, when that was happening, we're going out and covering it. We had a reporter on the scene, we had a traffic reporter, everything. And just there was a lot going on. And I mean, our goal is really to, our brand, our motto is First Alert. So that's what we do. Right. And we try to do it as well as we can every day. So, it was pretty exciting. We just learned this about a month ago?
Yeah, about a month ago, I'd say.
Awesome.
And so that's really exciting. And just to be recognized, you know, but like I said, it's something that, you know, we hope we do to our best every day.
But there's a lot of people that help pull that off.
Oh, yeah. It's behind you the
scenes. That's a really cool part about it, yes, too. There's a lot of younger members on our team that haven't been nominated before. Mm-hmm. So to see how excited they were, I mean, we were obviously very excited as well, but just to see their enthusiasm and their seeing, oh, our work is award worthy, that was really special.
That's awesome. We're talking with Tammy Elliott and Emerson Lehman from Action 2 News. So you're talking about this winter storm, truck going jackknife off the snowy road. Is that true that the person out there doing the weather report is like kind of at the bottom of the totem pole? Like, is that, you guys got good, I mean, you guys are like anchors, you got cool, cushy, warm,
I love
poppy.
Being out
Did
there.
Did you?
I love it. I'll do like field reports sometimes, yeah, when it's fun to be out there in my opinion. I love covering weather. I'm probably one of the weird ones that says that, but I think it's cool to kind of get a change of pace and everybody's talking about, oh, that truck that stopped traffic, right? So you're the one standing out there, right, saying, this is what happened. This is how they're fixing it. This is when it's going to be reopened. Everyone's looking at you. So I don't know. I'm maybe weird like that, but I think it's cool to be out there.
Okay. I feel sorry for them in the cold and they're freezing.
It is, like, yeah, oh, it is a bummer when the weather's
but
not
I see.
Great,
and then Anderson Cooper, didn't he get clipped with a piece of styrofoam?
Yeah, he was
doing a little dangerous too.
When he was out covering the hurricane.
Yeah.
Well, today I'll tell you, we noticed our morning reporter, Kristen Allen, who's a veteran. She's been doing this for like a decade, you know, or more. And she transitioned. She had her winter hat on today. We were like, okay, we know, scarf, gloves. Yeah. We're like, okay, it's that time of year.
Oh, but don't scare the public because we're looking at 70s this weekend for the game. So yes. I just want to.
Beautiful
that.
Weather.
But, yes. But so, all right, she's out there today with a coat and scarf. And yeah, when I see those people, I'm like, oh, I bet you can't wait
they
to get
promoted. They have an over under. So their over under in the office looks a little different than yours.
And we do have, like, when it's extreme cold, I mean, when it's really, you know, we have, there's kind of that threshold where we say it's not probably safe to have them out there.
Right.
There's certain weather elements
if
and
it's
things.
It's too cold or too dangerous for. Right. Folks people. At home to be outside, then we're not setting a good example if we have our own people outside, right? So we have that that threshold, like you said.
Hey, this Emmy Award that you're, did you receive it or you're nominated? Tell me about the process on this award.
So we are nominated.
Okay.
We will be, it's us and one other station from South Bend, Indiana that are up for this
award. Oh, it's a national award?
Regional. Yeah.
Oh, it's
so
regional.
It's based out of the Chicago Midwest region. So there's stations from Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, all in there. Ours is for markets 50 or higher. Green Bay's market 69, I believe, in television. So us in South Bend are up for it. And November 2nd is the ceremony. So we will find out then if we are winners or not.
All right. November 2nd.
November 3rd will be a very fun day to watch.
We'll have to announce it at our party because – so you go down there? Where's it at? Is it online or how does this work?
We'll go down. We're sending a few folks. I'll be one of them going down. It's at the Swiss Hotel in downtown Chicago, so right near Navy Pier.
Fun.
It's a cool – I attended my first ceremony last year, and it was a good time. So it'll be cool to see everyone. You put your tux on, your black tie, and it's a cool event. They do a really good job.
Well, congrats to you guys. I think that's great.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about the news in the morning, 4:30 till 7. That's an interesting time. I'm sure you're – my guess, and I don't know this, but my guess is your audience is probably pretty consistent. Yes, I mean, you know what I'm talking about? I think you're talking to a group of people that are religiously watching you because they've got to work. They got a life too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you talk about that early morning hours. I find a lot of teachers who are up exercising early before schools. You know, some of them, they have to be in by 7. Farmers who are up early as well. And yeah, you just, you know, whenever if I'm out and I hear someone say, oh, I watch you starting at 4:30. And I'm like, thank you. Because, you know, that 4:30 half hour, that's that question mark, right? You're like, are there people up? But we do find that people do get up early, or it's like a consistently, you know, I start watching you guys at 5:30. So yeah, it's nice to hear that. I think feel like you know, we have somebody out there watching that early.
I think there's a bigger morning audience than I think we think.
Absolutely.
And I tell you, people, I'm a little bit older than you, but I send out a lot of emails and texts in the morning, and we get up and coffee and
I've been meaning to talk to you about
the people that respond. I'm like, what do you do?
421.
What are you doing up? You know, but well, you should be up because we got to be to work. But I just think there's a great audience for that. Tell me what you talked about the political season. That's kind of the buzz right now.
Yep.
I mean, yesterday we had the potential vice president here, and now we have the vice president coming in Thursday. Are you into the politics? Do you guys, do they allow you to lean into that, or how does that work with your station?
I mean, obviously we keep it very even keel, you know, just sharing both sides. When one candidate from either party is coming, we're just providing the facts, let people go out and make their informed decisions that they want to make. We've got a great political team. Jason Zimmerman has been doing a really good job following along with all of our whatever candidate comes to town, comes to the area. Jason's been all over the place. He was at the RNC, the DNC. So doing a really good job just providing people with all the information they need to make those decisions and to head to the polls.
And depending on what some of the pugnants say, you may be reporting the results, you know, at 4:30 in the morning, because they don't know if it's going to be close.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be close, but do you have something planned for the election night? Your station, do you guys get pizza and soda like we do at our place?
They do that.
Staple.
That's
kind of like the playoffs a little bit.
It really is. And I used to work nights, so I used to be on that end of that and then switching to mornings. But yeah, it's definitely, you know, and it's really, I mean, it's all night, you know, you're really, you know, and when that morning shift comes in, on election night especially, there's the evening shift is still there. So
do you have your own pool? Because Earl's can get in ours. You know who's going to win?
It's going to be very interesting. It's going
to
be
a... likes to bet on things.
Well, there's so many, and I tell people when I get out, and you guys have, what, 26 or 24 minutes to do the... in a half hour. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're in there for a lot of half hours, but the local isn't sometimes covered as much as I wish it would be. But, I mean, you know, everybody's more concerned about what's at the top of the ticket. But I do some interviews with the local stuff. And so I like to get some friends together and kind of who's going to win. Because I think there's going to be close races locally.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think there's a lot of cool stuff going on in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, we hosted a debate a couple weeks ago.
Oh, cool.
That Cammy Rapson and Jason were both a big part of with that. So focusing on those local races too. So, yeah, definitely if folks are looking for a station that's going to be keeping them up to date on first alerting them to all the local races all the way up to the presidency, we're the spot to be watching for sure.
So given you come on at 4:30 in the morning, I mean, that's dark o'clock.
You're
stressing
that 4:30, well, aren't you?
But who's getting you your info? Like, you know what I mean?
Well, that's our producers who are coming in actually at when the 10 o'clock news is ending.
Okay.
We have producers coming. There's never a time at our station where nobody's there. So it's just a picking up where the last shift left off. So they're there 10:30, you know, debriefing with those producers and the reporters and everybody who's ending their shift. And then looking at, you know, what's happening overnight. I mean, if it's the hurricane, you know, not just locally, but nationally too, what's happening overnight. So it's just, and you know, the news cycle, it is not like it used to be. I mean, it has changed dramatically from when I first started. You know, it's constant feed of information.
Yeah.
And video. And so, yeah, it's really, they come in and then we have an executive producer who comes in at about 2 in the morning. And so then it's just a constant, you know.
People need to appreciate what's all behind the scenes on a lot of things.
Yes.
I mean, just
editors,
on a lot of things.
Yeah, editors, photographers.
Right,
right.
Right. We're going to go to a quick break. Can you just stick around? A couple questions on careers, because parents listen.
Yeah.
And you know, you talk about knowing your audience. A lot of people listen to us when they do their walking. You know, a lot of, they say that, I listen to you when I walk, and which I think is cool, but the media, that's an interesting career. And it's a huge career, too. I mean, radio, but there's, you talk about behind the scenes producing. And let's just talk, give a little advice on if someone is interested in that career, what they can do. This is Mino and the Mayor, but we're here with Nikki and the Mayor, and we're going to be right back.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Get your tickets today for Blues, Brews, and Barbecues on November 2nd at the Community Rec Center in Marinette, Wisconsin. Six award-winning barbecue pitmasters go head-to-head while your taste buds get punched in the mouth with lip-smacking barbecue. You'll listen to Blues Hall of Fame legend Joe Moss. Following Joe, Blues icon Taranzo Cannon hits the stage playing tunes from his number one album, Shut Up and Play. VIP tickets are only $27.50 and include barbecue samples from all six competitors, a full beverage of your choice, VIP pit passport, and both concerts. General admission tickets are just $17.50. Learn more at fishonmarinette.com and click on the pig. That's fishonmarinette.com. Sponsored by Fincantieri Marinette Marine, The Motor Company, Anderson's Culligan, and Farmers Merchants Bank and Trust. Blues, Brews, Barbecues. Come get some.
Supported by Travel Wisconsin.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax on everyday products. It will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris. A better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 8:51, Nikki and the Mayor, and we are wrapping things up here on a great Tuesday with a the weather this week is going to be awesome. A little cold today, but wait till this weekend. In the 70s, Packers are home again, which is awesome to have two games in a row. We are talking with two of our friends who are kind of in the same, not kind of, they are in the same industry we are, but they're much more popular and they get pictures, autographs. We have local celebrities in the
right
house.
Now.
In the house.
Right
Tammy
now.
Elliott and Emerson Lehman. Emmy Award winners for great coverage that they do. And
well, actually, can I just, this could be my first Emmy. I haven't won an Emmy. Oh. So, no.
Okay. Emmy. We're going to get it for
Emmy
her. All right. This is going to happen.
Okay. I've been
November
nominated,
1st.
But not
you're
okay.
The Susan Lucci
yes,
of.
Yes, that's how I feel, right?
But we're so deserving.
It's okay.
But we're going to know November 1st, right?
November 2nd.
November 2nd. November 2nd. Yes. All right. So that's a Saturday. And they're putting on their finest, dressing to the nines. And so that week con, let's get them back to talk about how it was when they mentioned your, when they called your name for the Emmy.
When we win, you
yeah.
mean?
Okay. Only when you win.
Right.
That's
right.
What, okay. Not,
knocking on all the wood that's in this building right now.
It's for Micah. We're not there yet, but we're getting there.
We're trying.
Before you guys take off here, students, you know, I teach at TC and we have students and I always ask them what they want to do. My class is very basic business classes and some law class. Media does come up. So why don't we just give a little bit of advice for parents who are listening or kids. My students are listening. They get extra credit if they listen. That's why they're listening.
Oh, nice.
No, our last class was yesterday. I just gave her the final exam. She looked at it this morning. advice. You're young. Tell me about your career quickly.
So I'm always one to never say no to an opportunity. I think that's a really important trait to have, especially in this industry where things are moving around a lot. So I
kind of want to interrupt you, but kind of in any industry, right?
Yeah,
I mean, if 100%. Say, look, do you want to go to, you know, Tulsa? No. Yeah, go to Tulsa, right?
I was convinced when I went to school in Indiana and I was like, I'm not going to go back to Wisconsin right away. I wanted to get back eventually. I wanted to go to Milwaukee, but I wasn't going to go back right away. Job in Wausau opened up. I said, all right, I'll go for 2 years, then I'll go out east, experience somewhere else. And then an opportunity in Milwaukee popped up and I said, okay, I'll check this out, then see what comes of it. And maybe I'll try and go experience a different state then. And then job in Green Bay opened up and now we're here. So I love it. I'm so glad to be in Wisconsin and to be working here in Green Bay. And you just got to, every opportunity, timing is a huge thing as well. I'm sure Tammy can attest to that. And yeah, just never say, at least hear out an opportunity. Never say no to it right away.
Mm-hmm. And have conversations with people. Take an interest in what they're doing. I think that's one of the interesting things about being a journalist is you get to learn something new every day. You know, whatever the story is that you're covering. So being curious is a huge quality. I think it's important in any aspect, but, you know, asking questions and trying to figure out. I think it's hard. I have two college age kids, and so helping them explore careers. And I feel like there's this like desire to know what you're going to do. You know, mm-hmm. you walk out of high school and you got to know what you want to do. College is expensive. I mean, let's face it, right? You don't want to waste any time. But being curious from, you know, a younger age and just having those conversations with people, neighbors, friends, whatever it is, I think that would be my piece of advice.
That's great advice. And I was maybe too much of a dad at times, but when we would drive and there was like, you know, a factory tours or any tours, I just pull in there. And I think the more exposure a kid can get, you know, grade school, high school, even when they're younger, all of a sudden they're going to say, like, that was really cool. You know, and then you can explore that a little deeper. But there's so many things. And I think, you know, we think, you know, I'm older than you guys, but, you know, life is short. But they look at that life is short. It's really not. I mean, you can have three different careers, not jobs. I'm talking careers.
Sure.
You can go from medicine to education to whatever, you're a welder. But I just think they you don't know what you don't know. And I think it's we're incumbent upon us to share with young people, older people, that there's a lot out there.
And when you ask the questions, as Tammy said, listen and actually comprehend those answers. Don't just kind of
right.
one ear out the other. You right. want to listen to people and you don't know everything. So definitely take that all in and yeah, take the advice.
Yeah, Tammy, I could have said that about you, that you take a curiosity in people. I mean, I just, and you're really easy to talk to as well. You know, you can, yeah. I've known you for, mm-hmm. you interviewed me a few times, and I just, there's some of you people I don't know, far be it not to care for somebody, but there's people, media people that I liked, and you're just honest, and, you know, and I think that's a good quality that good media people have is, like, I don't mind telling you stuff. You know what I mean? It didn't feel like you were creeping on me. It just mm-hmm. think you were curious about me.
And that's, I think, some of the best advice that I got early on in my career is to be yourself, being authentic, being genuine. And I think, you know, in the beginning, I was a little nervous about that. I feel like because I didn't have enough confidence in who I was, you know, as a journalist. And I grew into that. But I've always just kind of been who I, you know, if you meet me out, that's kind of how I am, as how I am on television.
Right. And yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. yeah. And you know what I will say is one thing, the direction of television news, media, and doing more live streams and doing a lot more, and I don't want to call it breaking news, but you're doing a lot more, and I don't want to say that they're unprepared reports, but just really a lot of off the cuff. It makes, I think it really teaches young journalists to be authentic to be themselves and to be comfortable in front of a camera. I also think social media also plays into that as well, too, yeah. that, you know, people are more comfortable doing that kind of thing now.
Well, you're both doing, we're so lucky to have both of you in Green Bay. Tammy, you've been here for a little while. Emerson, we're so glad that you're on board here.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Tammy Elliott, Emerson Lehman, who our Action 2 news in the morning that are up for an Emmy Award. They're going to be back here the first week of November telling us how great it was when the name was called and you received the award. Because I think you're going to get that.
Can't wait.
Very deserving.
Appreciate
Thank you for
that.
Everything
All right.
you guys
Thanks
do.
For listening today with Nikki and the Mayor. Johnny, I think, is back tomorrow. Is he back tomorrow? I don't know. If he's not, Nikki's going to be here. Thanks for listening to us today.
I got
is he
that
back
memo.
Tomorrow?
Got
is
that
he,
memo.
Is he back tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, he is. All right. Johnny's going to be back tomorrow. We'll see you then. Mine on the Mayor.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we'll talk scary trolley tours in Door County with Carl Sarecki. And our favorite paranormal investigator, Todd Michaels, joins the show to talk ghost stories that are non-trolley related.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, Talk of Green Bay.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.